asthma. It's normal in Auckland.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
Morena Celine.
Morena Rachel.
This is nothing to do with renting, but happy birthday.
Thank you.
Here on your birthday to talk about renters' rights.
Yeah, my friend Chris last night said today it should be called a 30 flirty and flatting, which I think he meant as a roast as well.
Well, hey, happy birthday.
Thank you.
And thanks for coming in to answer all the listeners' questions.
Of course.
About their cooked flatting situations at the moment. Let's just dive into this first one that we've got here. Pretty hundies off the bat.
Yeah.
Someone says, moving into a new flat, just seen in our tenancy agreement that we aren't allowed to cook with, quote, strong smelling spices.
Mm.
Is that legally allowed in a contract? Seems racist as...
Yep, so that does sound like a lot, like a racist dog whistle, and I know there's a lot around that. I saw something as well the other day on Twitter about, who knows if this hearsay, but about two landlords being like, oh, we also drive by at dinner time and sniff the air to see if we can like smell any smelly food in the kitchen, which is horrifying, and they should be in prison, but they're not. Anyway, but prison abolition too.
But also that, yeah.
Yeah, two things at once. Sorry, I'm really getting excited today, aren't I? But okay, so this is it's in the tenancy agreement. So the trouble with a lot of this is that there's not a specific answer that's not allowed, that I know of, actually. But that seems outrageous and a really outrageous proposition. So if you haven't signed it yet, I would call Tenancy Protection and kind of get some advice there about what to do, because I'm sure there may be a specific legal answer I don't know the answer to, but I would basically say don't sign it, do some research, or if you have signed it, if it is something that doesn't apply in the under the Residential Tenancies Act, then it probably shouldn't happen anyway.
Yeah.
Also, we have seen that there's history for this one case in 2003 in Hamilton, which shows that there was like a food smell left in the flat or whatever because of cooking, which inevitably happens with everyone cooking in a cooking space. And that case basically in the Tenancy Tribunal said they weren't liable for the smell. So that is available. But you have to pay to order it. So again, it's just this whole thing where we're really trying to create more stringent legislation around discrimination in these areas, because that's clearly one, outrageous, and two, potentially discriminatory. Absolutely.
Yeah. So it sounds like you've got some you know, precedents that you can lean on, but as you say, Tenants Protection Association would be good people to touch base with your specific contract there as well. So I hope that helps you out. Seems cooked, in my opinion.
Absolutely shouldn't cooked. Be the case. It's just at the moment to do with what we have to protect us, it may not be enough. Yeah,
We've got a question from someone who says, considering taking my landlord to the tribunal over a bunch of broken shit in the flat that she won't get fixed, but worried about if it will affect my chances of getting a flat in the future. We're moving out soon, so should we just grin and bear it or do it for the principle of the thing?
Yeah, so bleak. Again, I think this is why we're myself and other people like at Renters United are arguing that we need more independent people looking at what's happening in your flats, because the tenant being the person that has to take this to make the point and to argue that it's legal is a really illegal is a really difficult position. If you feel like you have a good case and you could win it, it could still be worth it, but it's really good to consider if you need a reference from that landlord to get another flat. There is difficult stuff there. Also, if you go to the tenancy tribunal, you need to ask from the beginning that you want name suppression, and you only get that if you win. Which seems like a great system, doesn't it?
What? I had no idea about that.
And that's only happened recently.
So how do you go about asking for name suppression if you do? Do you just say, I need name suppression, I want name suppression?
I think you have to be really clear. So the best thing to do in these situations, I think, is again to ring an advocate, to ring Tenancy Protection, but also that new website that they're doing along with a few other advocates, Aratohu, that has a good range of guides online that are like, things about the Tenancy Tribunal process, and really just read up on that to make sure that it's kind of worth it materially for you to get into that quagmire, because there's a reason people don't go to the Tenancy Tribunal, because it is
exhausting
expensive. And you're quite vulnerable in that situation. Yeah, absolutely. So it would be great to do that, because they do need to know that that's not right, but just make sure you're protected when you're doing that. Yeah.
Again.
We need to change that.
Change that system. Yeah. All right, third question, equally cheerful. Is there some sort of watchdog? Actually, this fits really perfectly with what we've just been chatting about. Is there some sort of watchdog organisation for reporting property manager behaviour to, or is it just the tenancy tribunal? I'm talking about sus jokes and casually racist comments when they've come to visit the flat for inspections. Technically, it's got nothing to do with their actual role as a property manager, but it's the kind of thing I wish I could warn future potential tenants about. We are Pākehā, and I can only imagine how stressful it would be to be a person of colour having to deal with them as renters. Any advice?
Again, so not really.
Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah. So if it's... Yeah, it's incredibly bleak. If there's if it's in the advertising, then you can go to like the Advertising Standards Authority.
Okay.
Or if you think it's discriminatory, you can also go to the Human Rights Commission. So there are a few different avenues you can go to. But again, what we're really thinking is important is, again, regulating those property managers. And we need some kind of way where you can report that to specifically something around your tenancy work. So... that's a really big one, because there isn't really a you don't have a direct place to go with those concerns, which seems like a really good way to keep people exploiting people and getting into vulnerable or uncomfortable situations if they continue. There's no way to stop someone doing a job improperly or in an inappropriate manner.
Yeah, it sounds like a really tricky situation.
Yeah, if you feel comfortable, maybe if you know your landlord a little bit or think they might think differently about that, or I kind of don't know what to advise. Again, you could ask for specific advice from another tenancy protection group, but also maybe you could mention that if they work for a big organisation. But then again, you're kind of the vulnerable party in that situation. So that's a really important thing to be trying to report. It's just trying to work out how to do that.
If they work, if your property manager works for a bigger company, as you say, I mean, like in any other, if you went into a cafe and someone was racist, you'd probably tell their manager. You know, is there a situation here where maybe you could go and talk to the manager at that association or something?
Like, I would hope so. I would think that you could do that. I just know so many situations where the property manager's kind of in control of all the scenario, so it doesn't seem to... it doesn't seem to work very well where you don't get a new property manager, you have the same one and they hate you. but I think that's really good to look at. And if you feel like, you know, let's just go for it, that would be really the ideal thing to do. You shouldn't be putting up with that and allowing that to continue perpetuating in the system.
If you are at the end of your, you know, time in that place as well, maybe that's a good time to talk about it. But yeah, as you say, you got to look out for yourself as well. So it's a hard one.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd say all the impetus is on you to like kind of make sure you're in the right and you've got a time to say it, where you've got what you need to move on to a new flat and things like that. But these websites are really good. They have lots of resources for stuff like that now, which can help you. But it is just such a tricky, it's just all grey area basically, which makes it hard.
As per usual, we will link all of these websites that we've been talking about. So Aratohu and the Tenancy Protections Association, we'll link all of that in the podcast after the show. So if you are listening and you were one of those people who sent in those questions, or this sounds very much like a situation you're living through right now, we will make sure you get the resources there. TLDR, it's all a bit cooked.
Yeah, absolutely. Get and talk to other tenants, talk to other renters, and let's organise.
Let's organise.
That's the message, really.
Happy birthday, Celine.
Thank you.
Have a lovely rest of your day.
I will.
Thank you for coming in and answering our questions.
Thank you.
And we will have more for you in a fortnight.
Perfect.
See you then.
A plague on both your investment houses.
That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.